You are not meant to go through life alone. We've heard that before. We know that's true. The Bible talks a lot about community and the value of community. And if there's anything that we've taken away from 2020, it's that going through life alone, going through life isolated is difficult. Is hard. So yes, you have your family. Yes, you have your friends. And you have your community, your circle of community, whether it's your discipleship family, whether it's people that you see at work, now all from a distance, but it's still community. But there is more. But to access the more will cause you to release control. A controlled life, and I'm not saying a life under control, so I'll say it this way. A life under control is someone who is organized, right? They have everything in its place. They know where things are. A life out of control is just everything's everywhere, and you kind of go through piles. I had a professor once that I would go in, and I would say, okay, I have a question about this, this, or this, and he had on his desk four piles, no joke. This big. And that was his filing system. So he'd go, okay, hold on, let me see. And he would just page through almost like sedimentary rock, right? Everything has a different age. And I think he ended up putting it back in where it belongs. But that was his system, right? So I'm not talking about controlled as in organized. I'm talking about controlled like this. Seizing control. I'm talking about control that we take on. My way. That kind of controlled life may seem comfortable because we can limit surprises. Controlling people, like me, try to control things because they want to limit surprises. If we limit surprises, we might be able to limit pain. We might be able to limit hurt. It seems comfortable. It seems safe. It seems less messy because things aren't organized, but it's not full. And in fact, a life lived under your best control is a life that is far less than what Jesus has for you. You can't control your life to the point of what Jesus has for you. You have to risk to get that. A life that is controlled is a less life, controlled like this. It's less joy. It's less peace. It's less purpose. Jesus did not die for you to live a life of less. That's what I want you to hear today. Jesus did not die for you to live a life of less. John 10 says it this way. He's talking to the people about his followers about being a good shepherd. And he explains it once and he talks about being the good shepherd and they don't get it. So he repeats it in verse 7, John 10. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, which means listen, listen up, get this. I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. For I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep abundantly. That's what God wants for you. That's what God wants for his children. That's what God wants for his sons and his daughters, to have life and live it abundantly because of Jesus. Now, there's levels. When I think of abundant, you know, easiest thing for me to think about as I was preparing this was like Thanksgiving Day, right? So you think about Thanksgiving Day, and you start the day, and you go, okay, what are we going to have before the meal? Because you don't usually have like a breakfast and a lunch and then a dinner. For us in my family, Thanksgiving always kind of falls around 2, 3 p.m., right? So, okay, so what do I need to do What do I get to eat, right? Is it the crackers and cheese? Is it cinnamon buns that my wife loves to bake up for us and our family? What is it? And then, okay, I'm no longer hungry because I don't want to go up to the Thanksgiving Day feast hungry. Because for me, then my stomach fills up that much faster. It's not as enjoyable a situation to kind of taste everything that's out there. So the first level is hunger. The second level is satisfied. I'm no longer hungry. I'm okay. Do you want to get something to eat? I could, but I'm okay. From there, you get to full, right? I can't eat anymore. I'm full. I can't do anymore. Abundant is beyond all of that. Live it abundantly is beyond fullness. It goes above and beyond. Abundantly, the word there is parasosis, okay? And you can see up there all the different kind of meanings, the biblical meanings for this word in the Greek in the Bible, right? So you see over and above, exceedingly, surpassing, right? Superior. But it's the whole idea of it's over and above. That's what I want you to hang on to today. The life that Jesus has for you, the life that he promises you is over and above in being abundant. It is empowered. It is fulfilled. It is one lived in victory, one secure in my identity. Abundant life brings joy and peace and purpose. Joy beyond my circumstances. That's a Jesus thing. How can I have joy if things aren't going well? Because my hope is in something else. Peace beyond understanding. Jesus said, the peace that I bring is the peace beyond what you can understand. And purpose beyond my qualifications, where I'm not limited based on what I think I can do or what I have done in the past. I'm empowered by what I'm called to rather than just what I think I'm qualified. Jesus came so that you can have life, that you can live life. You can live it with abundance. And it's not because of what belongs to you, what you see as secure, what your qualifications are, what your gifts and talents and skills are. It's not because of what you've done, your accomplishments. It's because of who you belong to. The life abundant is because of who intercedes for you. An abundant life is not about what. It's about who. It all rests in who. When I talk to people that are kind of bound up in the what, from a legalistic side, from a side of things I need to achieve, things I need to earn, things I need to keep doing, that's not the abundant life because that does not bring freedom. It just brings more bars, more hoops to jump through. The abundant life is about who I belong to, who intercedes for me. So how does that happen? How can Jesus promise to bring us a life full and in abundance? Turn your Bibles to John 14. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation because I like the way the words are, and I like different translations. Sometimes I use about four different translations because they hit me in different ways. And they interpret, and you saw all those words for the Greek, takes a Bible scholar, which I am not one, to go, it's this one exactly in this passage, because there's all those choices. So when you look at different Bible translations, they do that for you. So anyway, Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads you in all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. He's saying this to his followers. He's saying this to disciples. So he says, you know him because you've seen his work through me, Jesus is saying, because it's my spirit. But in Acts, we see that spirit is poured out on his people. And that's the key to the living abundantly. He says, you know it, but later it will be in you, because once that happens in Acts, in the Pentecost, where his spirit is poured out on the body, on the believers, it then becomes accessible to all of us as we accept Jesus. So it's no longer a second step. It's just when you accept Jesus, then you have the Holy Spirit in you. So that advocate, other translations say helper or comforter or counselor, who will be with us, who will lead us. And as a result, we're going to see he intercedes for us. We're going to look the rest of this time in 1 Corinthians 2. And it's going to be Paul talking to the church. And he's going to be talking to the church about this mystery and how the Spirit plays into that. So starting in verse 7, no, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. His plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. This is what the scriptures mean when they say, and he's quoting here from Isaiah 64, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. He's saying the mystery is being prepared and given only to those that love God. Let's continue, verse 10. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit. No one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. So he's saying here, the Spirit knows us, and the Spirit knows God. So that makes him eligible, or the perfect interceder. He knows what's deep within us, and so he searches. This is not working for me, guys. I'm just going to do it this way. He knows what's deep within us, so he searches us, and he knows the heart of God. And so he knows how to bridge that gap for us to God. In verse 10, okay, so, right, he reveals, he searches, and then he shows us. He is our guide. The Spirit is our guide to an abundant life, to a fulfilled life, to a relationship with God, our Father. Verse 12, and we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. No, instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. Let's take a look at that. It says, we've received God's Spirit. And so we know the wonderful things, not the good things, not the just things. Yes, what he has for us is just. Yes, what he has for us is good. But it's beyond that. Above and beyond. Abundant. It is wonderful things. Given to us by his Spirit. Do I need to switch to a handout? Okay. So it's almost like being too excited to speak. Have you seen these videos out there, right, of kids, whether it's at Christmas time or they get a dog, right, they open up a box or something. They're so excited they can't say what they're feeling. They're just, unbelievable. It's pure joy. It's pure excitement.
thing, the wonder that God has for us, is too wonderful to even... You want me to use it? Okay. It's like a whole one-man show here today. This is fun.
Just figure out what to do with all these, though. Like I'm collecting mics all over the place.
It's too wonderful. All right.
Can't go very far now. You guys got me. You roped me down. It's too wonderful to even explain. We need the words from the Spirit to be able to explain the wonder and the wonderful things that God has for us. He says, those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others, because who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? And this is the key. But we understand these things, these wonderful things, these mysterious things, these things of the Spirit, these things that are a key to an abundant life. We understand these because we have the mind of Christ. That's why. Because we become united with him through his Spirit. God's Spirit brings God's wisdom. And God's wisdom comes from the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is revealed to all who are found in and belong to Christ Jesus, who have made that declaration, not to me, not to your parents, not to your church, not to your small group leader, not to your grandmother, to Jesus. I belong to you. So I give you my life and my will. And to those people, God reveals his wisdom. And that wisdom is revealed through God's Spirit. And that wisdom is the key to the abundant life. So we said the key to the abundant life is the Spirit, is the mind of Christ. Well, out of that comes what? Out of that comes wisdom. So now we have to say, all right, so the key to this abundant life, to have it and live it full, exceedingly above and beyond, is wisdom that comes only from God. So how do we gain that? It's actually pretty simple. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, by the way, you all lack wisdom. By the way, I lack wisdom. By the way, anybody on any platform lacks wisdom. So it's not a qualification. If you lack wisdom and you lack wisdom, then you need to come to me to give you wisdom. No, then you're in trouble, okay? You lack wisdom, I lack wisdom. What's it say? You should ask God, who gives generously to all. Get this. This just jumped out at me. To all without finding fault. And it will be given to you. Stop. Think about that for a minute. When we go to someone with wisdom, asking for direction, how often does it feel like we are less? How often does sometimes the person try to lord it over us? Well, if you would have just done this, then you wouldn't be in this situation. Okay, I know I'm in this situation. That's why I'm here. Please help me. Here it says, and I think we fear that. I think we look at conversations and relationships we have with authority figures, whether it's your father, whether it's your mother, whether it's your boss, whether it's your uncle, whether it's your aunt, and we go, my fear is that's what Jesus is going to be like when I go and tell him I need help. When I go and tell him I need wisdom. But here in James, it says, without finding fault, he gives it to you. That's grace. That's mercy. To gain wisdom, you have to listen. You have to seek it out. And as James says, you have to ask for it. You can't access the door It's like, and I was looking at pictures and going, okay, could I find like a light behind the door? But they all looked freaky. So I was like, no, it probably brings to mind all different horror films that you've seen. But think of the wisdom behind a door. The door's already unlocked. When you accepted Jesus, he unlocked the door and he said, it's there, it's a storehouse, it's beyond those doors. And so think about it. To access the door, you're not going to access it by just sitting in your life saying, man, I wish somebody would open that door and pour that out on me. It's not how it works, because it's about your relationship to Jesus, not theirs. You can't just, I mean, you could kind of just grab a hold of it and take it on your own, but journeys are meant to be done together. The best journeys are done together. And it says we have a helper. We have a guide. We have an advocate. That's who the journey is to come with. If you want the abundance, you have to go to the Spirit. And you have to ask him to show you what God has for you behind that door. What is that overflowing? What is that abundance? Show me. And then lead me in the way to grasp it, to take it. He can pour out his Spirit with more. You know, when I think of this idea of more rather than less, I think of so many Christians, and in my mind, because I think in pictures, think of Christians walking around with a limp. They don't need to limp, but they limp. Whether it's their own self-consciousness, whether it's their own guilt, whether it's their own fear, they're walking around with a limp. And Jesus says, I want to heal you. I want to make you full. I want to show you the keys. I want to open the door to an abundant life. In the Bible, we know of a character, right? Jacob walked with a limp, but it was for a different reason. It wasn't out of fear. It was actually out of wrestling with God. And some of you, to get rid of your limp, you got to wrestle with God. When he pours out his Spirit, then he shows you what you need to fill what you lack. And just like without judgment, it's all done with love. So there should be no fear. What we all lack is having more Jesus in our lives, in our days. What we lack is the fruit of his Spirit that would guide us in every interaction, in every conversation, and draw us closer to our Father. What would that look like? Here's what it would look like for me. Instead of bitterness, there would be love. Instead of obligation, I have to. There would be joy in serving others. Instead of worry and anxiousness, there would be peace. Instead of demanding, this is what I deserve, this is what I need, there would be patience. Instead of competition, looking out just for mine, there would be kindness. Instead of envy for what someone else has that I might not have, there would be goodness. Instead of lying, there would be faithfulness. Instead of pride, there would be gentleness. And instead of anger, there would be self-control, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Now, I tried to show you today because I wanted to make a case. I wanted you to see it so that when you left, when you shut off from Facebook, that you would think, well, that's just Pastor Dan saying I should. No, I want to show you that this comes from the Bible. I have no authority in this. My role is to show you where it comes from the Bible so that you can see it and you can grab hold of it. And because it's living and breathing word, when you read it, you'll grab something else. Because the Spirit will show you something else. And that makes us hungry to want to keep going back for it. It all starts with Jesus and belonging to him. That unlocks the doors to his mystery, which is his wisdom. That gives us his Spirit. And in that Spirit, that allows us to draw closer to God and guides us into a fuller, more abundant life. The next steps are up to you. If you belong to Jesus, next steps are up to you. If you don't belong to Jesus, if you don't know of a time that you made that decision and that conversation with Jesus alone, then that's the next step for you, because all the rest of it comes out of that. Psalms 34 talks about seeking out the Lord. And as it talks out, it says, I sought the Lord, he answered me. It says, the poor man called, the Lord heard him and saved him from his troubles. And as he's making his case, the psalmist, he says in verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you holy people. For those who fear him, revere him, see him as holy, lack nothing. See, that's an abundant life. When I lack nothing because I know who I can get it from, rather than what I need to accumulate myself. So I don't feel that this message is, that the purpose of it was just for you to hear it. I want you to adopt it. So I'm going to challenge you. I want you to take steps towards that life abundant, online, here in person, anybody who hears it afterwards. Jesus wants more. There is more, but you've got to take steps to achieve it, to risk for it, to ask for it. So I'm breaking it down into 3 one-day challenges. Okay, let me explain through it before you think, oh my gosh, he wants 3 days for me. What am I going to do with that? That's too much. Stop. As my mom used to say, stop. Dan, don't get carried away. Calm down. And just listen to what I'm saying. The first day is about praying. It's praying for God to show himself to you. It's seeking out his face, to hear his voice. It's preparing your heart to receive from him. That could be a morning and an evening thing. That could be an as you're on your way to work thing. That can be however you want it. That could be 5 minutes. That could be 10 minutes. That could be 3 minutes all throughout the day at different times, whenever you think about it. What am I, I'm supposed to be praying and preparing my heart. Jesus, show me. Jesus, revealed to me. That's what I want your focus to be. I'm making this a legalistic thing, but this is the preparation. I want your focus to be, I want to hear from God because I want to be able to ask so that I can receive that abundant life. Day 2, I want you to be listening. I want you to stop talking. And day 2, I want you to stop talking to God. So whatever works for you, again, 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, 60 seconds, in the car, in the morning, in the evening, instead of filling it with talking now to God, I want you to stop and listen. Here I am. Here I am, God. Here I am, Spirit. Speak to me. You're listening. What your thoughts about God and others. Those are the first 2 commandments, right? The 2 most important commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love others as yourself. So you're listening for things of what's God saying to me, and what's God saying for me, for others. Write it down. Do it in your iPhone. Do it on a notepad. Do it wherever you want to. Do it on a post-it note. Write it in your Bible, but write it down so that you can remember. And that's it. Don't worry about what's next. Just write it down. Because here's the thing. Now you know God's speaking back to you. Now you've begun a dialogue with the Spirit rather than just a monologue. So day three, that's your advance day. Some of you won't get to day three. That's okay. One step. That's all I'm looking for. Because I think God can use even one hesitant, tiny little baby step to show you the beginnings of the path to an abundant life. So in day three, it's looking at one thing, one prompting, one calling, one thing that I wrote down, and stepping out and doing it. Could be sending somebody a text. Could be a name that comes to your mind. Hey, I just want to ask, how you doing? How can I pray for you? I don't know what it is. But just one thing, one action given by the Spirit where you can be ministered to and others, or others can be ministered through you. Either is fine. Some of you will need to be ministered to multiple times before you're ready to step out and share the comfort that God's given you with others. The Bible talks about that. But you're looking for a first step. So don't, here's what I want to say. Don't prioritize, okay, here's what I can do for others. No, you're looking to respond to what the Spirit's saying to you. For some of you, you need to be encouraged. You need to feel like you're in community. You need to hear the Father's love for you. And if that's what you get out of it, that's awesome. If you're willing to take this challenge, I want you to send me either online, you guys can do it here as well, but online, I want you to when you leave this, to hit send a message up at the top at Facebook and say, here's my name, I'm in any other way, and here's why. I'm not going to record it. I'm not going to go back. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you this week, specifically, in whatever those steps are. And so I want to know who's doing that so I can pray with them and help them move one step further. In addition, otherwise, you can email me. Here's my email. It's simple. Pastor Dan, that's me. NJ, that's where I live, @gmail.com. Okay? And just say, I'm in. And if there's a specific prayer request, you can send that to me too. I just want to be able to pray for you. You don't even need to give me your last name if you're that unconscious or that conscious, not unconscious. That would be a whole different thing. Hey, God can do anything, right? if you're that self-conscious, just give me your first name so that I can be praying for you this week. I want the Spirit to move in each of your life. I want the shackles that have held you back from living an abundant life to be shattered forever. We may pick them back up, but even as I pick them back up, I will know in my heart of hearts they don't belong to me. So Jesus, even as I'm picking them back up, help me to let them go again. Help me to learn. I want to hold you up in prayer.